what we were taught in high school. You go to college.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a whole generation.
Yeah. It's only now are they really starting to say trade school. And that's part of the reason we've structured our scholarships the way we have.
Yeah.
Trade school, community college. There's so many successful paths to careers that aren't necessarily university four-year 100%. Education.
We're finally starting to understand that.
Yeah.
Right? The thing is that college is not for everyone, but you don't need everyone to go to college.
Exactly. Right?
So college is for some. No trades is for others.
The Buzz on Better Business podcast, positioning your business as one that is trustworthy, is something that we all know is important. But what does it actually take to accomplish this? Join your BBB each month as we unveil the world of local accredited businesses who have it mastered and have positioned themselves as ethical leaders in our Acadiana marketplace. Thank you for joining us for the next episode of the Buzz on Better Business podcast. Joined this episode by Jonas Hebert with Gritic LLC. You'll find out a little bit about where Jonas is from, which might be different than what you would actually assume or think if you meet the man he is today. And something about coffee. I know it tastes good. Where can you find it? And how do you get started in that business as well? Thank you for joining us. Jonas Hebert with us from Gritic Electrical Services. How are you?
Great, Chris. How you doing?
Man? Oh, man, I'm good. I'm glad we matched. Thanks for sending me the black polo alert before. We didn't do that on purpose. But
I figured you couldn't go wrong with black.
Right? Yeah. It matches your car, too, which is nice.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So how you doing, man?
Oh, doing fantastic. Chris, just busy out there grinding. You know, it's been a journey, quite a journey. The last 3 years has been pretty crazy. And the thing is that within those 3 years – so a lot of things come with a lot of things happen to get me at this table right here. So right. What's been fun is the self growth. So self growth is huge. I don't know if you had to kind of do the same thing to get in the position you're in, right? Is identify areas that you can grow in, accept accountability, and then grow. So that's actually been if people ask me, like, what's the best part about owning your businesses? And to me, it's been the self growth.
I think it almost is a kind of an ongoing process, right?
100%.
Whether it's like physical fitness or, you know, mentally, emotionally, you know, figuring out, of course, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We've all got blemishes on our record, on our, you know, everything we've wanted to accomplish. If you had asked me at 18 years old where I'd be at, I'll turn 40 this year, which is a number I'm kind of struggling to swallow.
Well,
you know,
I just turned 40 Thursday.
Oh, good. I'm glad you
did. Look, I'll be honest though. 30, I wasn't ready for. 100% was not ready to turn 30, was scared of 30. 40, I'm excited. I'm excited about 40.
Well, good. I'm working on the excitement. It's not till the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'm easing into it. I already kind of use 40 as the number because 39 is just, it's so close. But anyway, if you had asked me at 18 where I'd be, I don't know that this is, it's for sure not what I would have told
you. Yeah, 100%.
Right?
So, the thing is, I saw something from you recently, and I think you said most business owners, if you talk to them at 18, they'll tell you that 18, they never imagined they would be in the position that they're in.
Yeah.
That's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at 18 years old, I was very, irresponsible. I mean, it was, you know.
You weren't ready to have the business at 18?
I would have never thought I would. Yeah, I didn't think that's where I would be. No, not at all.
It is sometimes neat when you run into an old high school classmate.
It happened to me the other night.
Or even one of those teachers that, you know, you haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're doing what?
Like, yeah, exactly. And look, I was that kid too. So I was always the one that was very loud. I was always the one that needed all attention on me. Right. So when I see those teachers, they're like, oh, Jonas, okay. You're doing pretty good. Yeah. They probably thought I'd be somewhere else. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had a successful place. Where did you start? Where'd you come from? What little Jonas do as a kid?
So little Jonas, actually, it was funny that whenever we got here, we were talking about music, wanted to be a country singer. But then very early, I realized that wasn't in my cards.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But I went to Avery Island Elementary, a little small school, you know.
Avery Island Elementary. I'm from here. I never even heard of that.
Yeah. Well, it got wiped out with, I think, one of the hurricanes right after Katrina. Anyways, they shut it down. But it was a small school.
Okay.
Right? So you went there from kindergarten all the way to sixth grade.
Damn.
And from there, that's when you finally started moving to New Iberia and going to Iberia Middle, Nish, Freshman High, all of those schools. So you had a very small class that you stuck with for 6 years. You didn't know anyone outside of that school, because when we took field trips to Avery Island. You know, you didn't go anywhere else. We had the Pepper Factory. We had Jones Gardens. So we had all of these.
All the stuff y'all needed to learn was right there.
Yeah, huh? And we walked. We didn't take buses either. So I'm guessing we didn't have a big budget. That's what I'm starting to gather now. Now that I understand.
Looking back.
Yeah, correct. Now, we did have Harvard or Rabbit. So, you know, apparently they still put on an act.
Really?
Yeah. You familiar with Harvard the Rabbit?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Harvard Rabbit was awesome. I'm telling you. Harvard Rabbit was the best.
So that's some Avery Island, New Iberia stuff there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's what it is some ventriloquists. They come up with an alligator, and they got a rabbit. They got a bunch of different animals. And it's a guy and his wife, and they come, and they put on a whole show for you. That was like it. If Harvard the Rabbit was coming, you'd make sure you did not miss school. And that was the only day you didn't want to skip.
Man, that's good stuff. I'm hoping somebody's flashing back thinking and hear about this. Yeah. That's from out there. Yeah. So you went to New Iberia Senior High?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. You graduated there. What were your plans?
Well, the thing is, I didn't graduate from NISH.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. 18-year-old me. So I actually got in some trouble, and I was expelled, and I moved to my dad's house. My mom and dad was divorced.
Okay.
And my dad lived in Sunset, Louisiana. So I moved out there, and I graduated actually from Beauchesne.
I got you. So I'm familiar with Beauchesne. Yeah. Okay.
So I graduated from there. And at that moment, at that part of my life when I was 18, and these things started happening to me, that's when I kind of started accepting a little bit of accountability. But the thing is that it was always never my fault, right? Because it was always the teacher's fault or someone else's fault.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But I went over there and I graduated. But I started hanging around different types of people. So that's when I started realizing at an early age – now, I still didn't make good decisions until I got a little bit older, but that's when I really started realizing that you really are a product of the people you hang around with, you know?
Man, you're so transparent, you know? Just well, like, I'm look, just gonna... I didn't make good decisions till like probably not too long ago.
No, yeah. Yeah, I'm just
you know, just being honest.
Yeah,
huh?
100%. Because the thing is I want people to understand that, you know, you can mess up. It's okay. But it's accountability and to learn from your mistakes. It's what's really going to take you to the next level. Because everyone's always wondering, you know, how do I get there? How do I get here? I'm never going to make it because of this, because of that. But
right.
The thing is that once you start understanding that a lot of it has to do with your own self and the people that you're surrounding yourself with, that's when you're really going to start seeing the fruits of your growth. Right.
Yeah.
So the thing is that you can be the hardest working individual. I'm talking about a lot of people probably will outwork me. But the thing is that what really took me to the next level is owning up in accountability. Like, you have to have accountability. And kind of we started talking with self-growth is that the only way you can fully jump to the next level is to really start working on yourself. Once you start working on yourself and you start accepting accountability for your actions, start understanding why certain things are happening to you, that's when you start growing and you actually take yourself to the next level professionally. You know, I mean, you'll hear people say it, there's a lot of hardworking people that don't get to that level. And that's
one of the things you think sets it apart.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be self-growth. I mean, you have to be looking internally constantly.
Well, and something I've heard, you know, over the years, I guess, regardless, you know, it applies to almost anything, is awareness is kind of the first step, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
If you're not able to be honest with yourself, whether it's, again, about your physical fitness, you know, if you're just convinced you're in the best shape and you're not.
Yeah,
then you're probably not going to do anything about it.
That's exactly where it's at.
So being aware is one of the first things, and then I guess accepting that and the accountability of it.
Well, you got to think what starts coming from that. So discipline starts coming from that, right? Because now you're holding yourself accountable. So if it's physical fitness, then you're going to start going to the gym, right? So then you start building all these habits, all these traits that it takes to be successful, to get yourself to the next level.
Right.
You know? It's tough. It's not an easy journey.
Well, and it's neat. And I think what people want, and we've talked about this before, is transparency. You
100%.
Know, whether it's in the marketplace or the business or just in interaction with people, you know, they want the transparent, honest, raw situation, the person, the business, what's really going on. That's kind of the point of this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Is because if you look at Jonas today, he's got multiple businesses, Ethics Award winner last year. You're such a great guy, nice, easy to talk to, fun to be around. You know, you'd never know, since you mentioned it, get expelled from high school.
No, 100%. Yeah, exactly. And see, one of the things that I brought into, I remember when I was at a point in my life, and it was right before I started Gritic, where I was like, okay, what does Jonas Abear want to do? What is Jonas Abear trying to accomplish, right? And I told myself, well, look, if I'm going to go into this, I'm going into this 100%. I'm giving it 100% of myself. So I made that decision. But I also told myself that I wasn't going to BS my way into it, that I was going to be honest with every single customer I dealt with. I was going to give every single person that I met 100% of Jonas. So not only was I there to do work for you, but you got to know me. We built a relationship together. So I fully got to understand what your needs were and what you were looking for. And then understanding where your financial, where you were financially. So that way I can try to give you the best solution that's affordable for you, to where it doesn't put you in a hole. There was some customers where I went to that really couldn't afford it but needed it, and I found a way to make it work for them. You know? I mean, I remember this one client in particular. She's awesome. She still talks to me today. She had nothing really, and her son and them was an electrician at plants. So she really didn't have much money, and she was living in a house for 3 months with no electricity. So her son came and hooked everything up and tied her to the pole to make sure that try to get her service turned on. And she called every single electrical contractor, and every single one of them told her that they wasn't touching it because her son worked on it, and that they was going to pull all of the service out and redo all of it. I went over there and understood her situation. I said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll meg it. I'll test it. I'll run 100-point inspection, whatever, making sure that his work is good. And then I'll put my name on it, and that's exactly what we did. And now she has electricity.
Wow.
But all I charged her was permit fees. And the reason being is because I understood her needs were more important than me making, let's say I would have did a 30% margin on that, and I would have took home maybe $400 total. That would be my commission, or let's say $250 off of that project right there. It was more important to get her in her house with electricity on, because she was living there with cats by herself. I couldn't imagine. And I was and I tried to think about situations. Okay, if I was in that position, I would want someone to help me. And sometimes they're great people. They're just in a bad situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to sometimes meet people where they are, which is kind of what you're doing in that situation. Correct. And I think when you kind of humble yourself enough, put others before yourself, I think in the end, what you end up with as a business owner is a business that's thriving.
Successful.
More than the guy that is necessarily looking at what's margins. The most lucrative, what's the biggest margin, correct, what's the projects we can get.
Yeah.
And there's probably a couple reasons for that, but one of them being, I think just, karma takes care of good people.
Well, that's what I was going to say next. So whenever I started, I made a promise, because I'm still developing my faith, right? I'm still on this spiritual journey, which is good. But that's also, I feel like, what's got me to where I am now. And I made a promise to God that was like, look, if you help, if you give me the ability to help people, I would promise y'all give back just as much as I receive. Like, I'll help as many people, as I can. And to this day, I'm still applying that, because that's a promise that I made to myself and, to God. So I take that very seriously.
Yeah. And it's obvious in what you're doing. It's obvious in the work. It's obvious in our awards process last year. You guys received our Torch Award.
Yes, sir.
Which, for ethics, which is the biggest, biggest and highest honor we can give.
My name is Jonas Abear. I'm the president of Gritic Electrical Services. We're a full-service commercial, residential, and industrial electrical contractor. We build new homes, new construction, commercial buildings. We also do sports lighting. What really sets us apart is the fact that we lead by faith over fear. We go out there every single day to produce a product that I think we can all be proud of. I think we all got the same mindset, same goal, same vision, and that's to grow a company that is bigger than yourself. There's times when you're out there in the field and you get lost in the work. People could be used as data and as numbers and as profits and as margins. And with our company, it's a little bit different. We get more personal. We get to know our customers. We get to know them to the point to where we understand the situation they're in. And sometimes our morals and our ethics comes first. We have this one customer, bless her soul. She's a great woman. She gives back to the community. She works with a local diner, right? And she's been dedicated over there for, I think, the last 20 years. She doesn't have a lot of monetary value, but she has more value to the community with her service that she gives. And her home had no power. Her husband is very ill. He has a few medical conditions that requires oxygen tanks and all these other components in order just to keep him healthy. Her electrical panel went completely out. Could she afford $4,500 it was going to cost her to do a complete repair? No, she couldn't. That didn't mean we couldn't serve her either. We took care of her servers, got her electricity back up and running at the cost of us. That right there is, I think, what sets us apart from most other electrical companies and the reason why we were chosen for this award. Every single individual that's a part of our team is a part of the same mission, the same goal. One philosophy that we have at Gritic, Ubuntu is an African philosophy and it's a way of life. What that actually means is that I go out there every day and I give every part of me because you're giving every part of you. We put Ubuntu and Simple Faith over everything that we do. It's on our sleeves of our shirts, every letterhead that we sign. I mean, it's everywhere. And I think if you go out there in the field and you ask our guys, they'll all tell you the exact same thing.
Through meeting you through that process, personally, I'm like, we've got to get this guy on our board. So now you're a board member.
Yeah,
because I wrangled you into that after meeting you and everything with the award process. But going back, I guess, years, what made you choose electrical services? What made you choose that industry?
Well, so I feel like it almost chose me. Because so the thing is that when you're young and you're trying to provide, but it's also not even trying to provide. Like when you're young, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? You're trying to wear polo shirts. You're trying to do all these other things to impress people. So you work hard. You jump from job to job chasing a dollar, chasing a dollar 50, right? You never really fully cement yourself somewhere to build a career. At that point, that young, you know, you don't understand how important it is to build the relationships, to build networks, and to grow inside of a career. So I was a machinist, and I worked my way up from a machinist to a programmer. And then when the oil field tanked, you know, I think that was 2016 when the oil field tanked.
Yeah.
It tanked. I got laid off and had worked my way up very high. I was making like $28 an hour, almost $30 an hour, making good money, bringing home some nice checks. And I got laid off. And then I tried finding a job in that sector for like 8 months. And my girlfriend at the time, she was like, we got to make a decision. Like, nobody's hiring, you know, for this work anymore.
Yeah.
And I had already previously worked at EP Bro. So I ended up getting an opportunity to go back. And I mean, together, my now wife, you know, we made a deal. I was like, they're going to call. The oil field is going to pick back up. Maybe not where it was, but it will, because it always does. Mm-hmm. I said, they're going to be calling. They're going to be calling because of my resumes. They're going to want me to go back. And we both made a commitment that I wouldn't, that I was going to build a career somewhere, that I was going to take the time.
With a little bit more stability.
Correct. And, in maturity to invest somewhere, right? To start investing in my career. And then I went to EP Bro and I made a promise to myself that I was going to work myself up to a master electrician. I already set a goal. Now, mind you, I took a $15 an hour pay cut, so I went to $13 an hour. Like, we was literally living off ramen noodles, ham sandwiches. I was bringing a bologna sandwich, a bag of Doritos, and my buddies in the front seat are eating Sonic foot-long cheese conies and stuff. And I'm sitting there like, oh man, that smells good. But I understood at that point what I was trying to achieve. Right now, of course, like I said, we got calls, I got emails, job offers,
right?
You know, and we looked at it, and every time we stuck to our word, you know, it was like, nope, not doing it. So I worked my way up to fourth year journeyman, stuck with the apprenticeship, learned as much as I could, excelled, tried to exceed. Now, don't get me wrong. I had bumps during that road, up and down, up and down, right? Because naturally, as a man, you know, you want to provide and you want to be, you know, that solid, firm foundation in your family to where you don't want your family to worry about anything. They just come to dad. Dad's strong. Dad got strong shoulders. He can put everything on his back and he can lift the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's who we want to be. But when you're making $13 an hour, it's kind of hard to be that person mentally. So that's the thing. You could pretend to put on that persona, but mentally you got to be there as well. So, of course, we had ups and downs with it. But eventually it got to a point to where I was in my fourth year and I was excelling. And I went to take my journeyman test. And not many people pass this test in their first try. Went there, boom, passing my first try. I'm proud. I'm pumped. I'm there excited. You know? And then that's when I start thinking, okay, what's next for Jonas, right? I'm 32. What's next for me? I understand my son's about to turn 16, right? I'm about to buy my vehicle. my wife and I wanted to have a baby. That's 10 grand. Right? You know, I mean, you know,
nothing's so, cheap, man. No, it's getting more expensive too, right?
So I'm looking at all these things and these different variables. I'm like, man, like I have to do more. I have to make more. Like, how am I going to make more? Right. And, but I didn't want to leave my job because I loved my job. I loved who I worked for. I loved the company I worked for. It was a great company. They helped me become the man that I am now. Right. Because they helped me with growth. They held me accountable. So I was forced to grow with them and become the man that I am today. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens, you know, in time. And I started doing side work, you know, and I was making some more money. I started realizing how good I was with people. I'm a people person. I love people. I love helping out people. Yeah. It was easy for me to talk to people to find out, you know, what people needed, what people wanted to help them. And then Hurricane Laura hit. And I was sitting there one day. Was in my they call it the backyard at my mother-in-law's house. It's an outdoor kitchen. We sit there, we hang out, family, very family oriented. And we drinking And I'm like, man, I was like, I'm telling you, I could start a company right now. And I was like, I'll go to Lake Charles. And I said, that will fast track 5 years of my growth. And because I started doing all this market analysis and I started figuring out exactly what it would take, how much I would make, like what was the demand for electricians. And I just had a feeling inside my gut, you know, and I kind of prayed on it. And they say God talks to you in different ways. And something kept telling me, go, you know, do it. And it just so happened every because I was watching YouTube videos, motivational videos, and everyone that would pop up suggested was about starting your own taking business and leap. Taking that leap. Correct. Uh-huh. And Steve Harvey said it. He was like, eventually you're just going to have to do it. Right. Eventually you got to do it. So I'm doing side work. Now I'm doing side work in Lake Charles because I'm trying to prove my point, because my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my best friend, you know, everybody around me is like, Jonas, you got a good job at a good company. Like, you sure you want to jeopardize all of this that you worked hard for,
right?
For a hunch, you know? Yeah, because at that point, they had no idea. I didn't even have an idea that maybe I might be good in business, you know? So I'm out there working. I get off of work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I work till 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, wake up, go do my full daytime job. Work that, leave over and over and over and over. And then I kept telling my wife, because my clientele book kept just growing, kept growing. Now I'm at work and I'm still getting calls. I'm like, I told my wife, I was like, I'm telling you right now, I could succeed. And she was like, you know what? She's like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about it. She was like, either do it or don't do it. I was like, okay. And I just took that. At that point, that's all I really needed. I just needed to say, and the thing is what I want people to understand too, is that you can't do this alone. Like, your spouse has to be in it 100% with you. Like, you have to do that together, because there's going to be times where you're going to need that person to talk to, where you're going to need that person to confide in. Because there's a lot of times to where I was in a position and I was able to bounce it off of my wife, and because she supported my decision, we made a good decision collectively, right?
Yeah.
So that's where it's at. So the thing is if you find yourself in that position and you're at odds with your significant other, I wouldn't suggest doing it, because it's not going to work out from the beginning. Yeah. You have to have that foundation, you know? And so when she gave me that go ahead, that was it.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah.
2 week notice.
Yeah. That was it. And I was gone. And I went to Lake Charles. And just like I said, it fast tracked me 5 years worth of growth. But the thing is that there was such a demand for tradesmen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't realize at that time, I guess maybe other people did, but I didn't personally realize how much of a shortage there was. Huge shortage in tradesmen. Not just electrician, plumbers, you know.
Well, and I think that kind of continues to grow. And that's something we see in industry with reliance on automation and AI and different 100%. Things. You know, you're running out of skilled
laborers,
craftsmen
100%.
That can physically do a job, because a certain segment of the generation starting to retire.
Yep.
You know,
that's where
there hasn't been enough backfill of people for them to train.
No.
And it almost feels in some instances that if it continues to go, you'll end up with almost nobody that knows how to do it.
What the thing is, so think about it, when you and I generations, because we're the same age basically, right?
Yeah.
What we were taught in high school, you go to college.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have a whole generation.
Yeah. It's only now are they really starting to say, trade school. That's part of the reason we've structured our scholarships the way we have.
Yeah.
Trade school, community college. There's so many successful paths to careers that aren't necessarily university four-year 100%. Education.
We're finally starting to understand that.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is that college is not for everyone, but you don't need everyone to go to college.
Exactly. Right?
So college is for some, you know, trades is for others. Yeah. Some people just want to get out of high school and go straight to work. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I have, and people ask me how I do it, but I probably have the youngest workforce out of anybody in this area. And I mean, my average age is probably 21 is probably my average age. And the reason being is because these cats are coming out of high school hungry. They want to learn. But they also want guidance. They want mentorship.
Yeah.
They want people who's going to invest in them and fast track them, you know, on their maturity and their growth. So that's one thing that at Gritic is one thing that we hone in on. Like we're going to teach you a trade. Yes, we're going to give you the skills you need to be successful in your trade. But we're also going to try to help you become a better man and a better person. Like I'll have some of my employees that'll call me for advice. And I'm not trying to brag by any means, but they trust me enough and trust my opinion enough. They'll call me for advice before they call, you know, someone right. closer to them.
Right.
And because the thing is that we're fully invested and we're 100% a team. So from there, I imagine I right away started the apprenticeship program, which I should be kicking off next September. So I just got accredited, and now I have my I just passed my program director test. But that right there gets me so excited because we're able to take young men straight out of high school. Or someone in my situation, a 20-year-old.
Just want a career change.
Yeah.
Yep.
And give them, let them go to work 40 hours a day. I mean, work 40 hours a week and learn a trade at the same time and finish with a license, a certificate.
Yeah.
You know how, like, one thing that really helps that helps you is you give someone hope, right? Mm-hmm. And then you give them you give them a certificate to where you put your hope in the right place. I mean, now you feel like you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
You could accomplish anything.
So a couple of things you're talking about that I want to touch on. For one is, you know, the family aspect. You talk about your wife, family oriented, and how closely a lot of times that ties to what we do in our careers.
Sure.
You know, you can't necessarily live a personal life that's completely unaligned with what you're trying to do professionally.
No, not at all.
And expect that to necessarily be successful. Now, of course, there's outliers out there, but for the most part, you know, the person somebody is how they're going to treat and run their business.
100%.
And how much, you know, you mentioned earlier, surrounding yourself with the right people. And, you know, yeah, you get involved with the wrong crowd and you're getting advice from the wrong people. And before you know it, you're 10 miles down the wrong path.
Correct.
But the opposite is also true, that you surround yourself with the right people,
like-minded,
and that are going to support you and that are going to help pick you up when you stumble, because nobody's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, right?
Correct.
And then the other aspect that I want to mention that you point out is talking about the apprenticeship program and the hope of helping other people succeed and how much in return that helps your business and what you're doing.
Oh, it helps it a lot. So it's the culture, right? So the thing that I did, right, like I don't even know how, I guess it was from reading the books and then listening to the podcast, but I already knew that there was two most important things at the beginning of my business that I needed, right? Well, one was a CPA, because I needed, I'm just going to be honest with you, because I didn't know nothing about my books. I didn't know anything, but yeah. I had to make sure my books was correct, right? Because I didn't want to get screwed at the end of the year. and then it was the culture. What type of culture do I want to establish? What type of brand? I was already thinking, day one, I'm the only employee besides my helper, which was, he still works for me now. I was building my brand already. We was already working on our brand and the culture of our company, because I understood that everything I did now was going to affect me 2 years from now. So at Gritic, we're already thinking, now we're thinking 5 years ahead. But we're also, so we have short-term and mid-term and long-term goals. So we're thinking 2 years, we're thinking 5 years, and we're thinking 10 years. So we're putting things into place now that won't even benefit us until 2 years from now, but we understand that. So that's kind of what I'd applied at the beginning. The culture of your company is the most important thing. Are people going to enjoy to come to work? Are people going to buy into your mission?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Your mission statement, your vision. Are they aligned with your vision? Right? So that's all things you have to check off your box. So the thing is that you can be the business to where you're a two-man show and you're okay with it. And you just want to work for yourself. You want to make a median salary, right? You just want to provide for your family. Or you can be the guy that wants to try to scale this thing and see how far you can take it and try to touch as many people's lives as you can and affect them in a positive manner. See, that's where I'm at.
Right.
And the thing is in order to do that, you have to invest in the brand and the culture of your company, understand of how important that is.
Well, and something I'm hearing, and I think you're kind of reaffirming my own personal belief about it, and really that thought process is what's behind even having started this podcast, is for somebody that's, you know, worked a couple places and they have a successful career, but they've never been on the upper end of management or owning a business, and the decisions that go into that, the things that may keep you up at night that you're thinking about for the next couple of years, what do I need to do? Hard decisions that come across, you know, whether it's how do I reprimand an employee that didn't follow what our culture, you know, to those things that aren't always thought about. And there's a lot when you, you know, pull back the curtain, we'll say, to that goes into running a business and what it really takes to be a good business, a trustworthy business, one that people respect and love and care about in return, because that's what it's really about.
Yes, sir.
You grow a customer base that really cares about your business almost as its own person.
100%.
Then that business, I mean, you know, kind of going a little out of line in a way, but that business is never going to fail.
No, the sky's the limit on that business.
Yeah.
Right. And that's your goal. Like you said, you want to build a loyal customer base, but it's your reputation. Right. So like there was one point at Gritic whenever I was explaining, you know, to guys in the field that every single thing you did, like right now, we don't have a reputation. We're building our reputation. So let me ask you a question. Okay. So let's say you and I walk into this room and there's a piece of paper on the ground. Are you going to be the guy that's just going to walk past it? Or are you going to be the guy that's going to pick it up and put it in the trash can?
Do the right thing.
That's two different people.
You know, that is two different
people. That's two different people.
That is
mentally
two different people.
It doesn't make the first one a bad person, but mentally, that's two different people. Do the right thing even when no one's looking.
Right? Well, and it's the work done in the darkness, right? That a lot of people don't see.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, personal opinion, I guess, but we see all too often in society the one that's not picking up the paper.
No, sure. Yeah.
You know, correct. And as a business owner, in a way, you've got to be able to either be willing to hire and grow that person because everybody has the ability to get better and grow.
100%.
And some people just don't know better.
Yeah.
They don't know they even need to look at the paper.
No, you see, exactly. I'm glad you said it because I find myself more often than not trying to help that person.
And that, right? I think, and then not only are you helping that person individually, but long term, you're building
breaking chains,
loyalty within that.
Yeah, sure.
Within that person to you as a business.
And his family. So you're changing the culture of his family. Right. You're changing the culture of that man. I mean, you're breaking chains at that point, right? So a lot of things stems from your youth, from where you, how you was raised and how you grew up. I just had the ability, which I think because I had great people around me, to break those chains, to understand, okay, this isn't right. This isn't wrong. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this. This is where I want to be. Right. And through relationships, through having the right people around me, I was able to finally break those chains and then be that person for other people. So I also made myself a promise that I would try to help and change as many people's lives as possible.
Right.
Because I came from the worst of the worst. I guarantee right now, there's a lot of things, conversations. We could probably have this on another podcast, which I don't mind. I'm just telling you, I don't mind telling my story by any means. And because the thing is, I'm a firm believer. So every day when I first met my wife, we would drive on the road, right? And we'd be driving and I'm jamming my music. I'm always in a good mood. And she's like, how are you always in a good mood? I was like, well, you woke up this morning. It's cliche, but it's true. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. You just got to find them. So I'm always a person just waving to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, why you do that? Why are you always waving to somebody? I'm like, well, because you never know what type of day that person's having.
True.
I said, that one wave, that person might have been on their way to their house to go drink their sorrows and drink them away or whatever else. But this now someone, a stranger, cares, right? So I would wave. So this actually just played out recently at one of my coffee shops. So awesome woman. She comes in one morning and she's always there. And I just happened to be there that morning. And for some reason, our POS was acting up. And I told her, I said, look, I got your coffee today. Don't even worry about it. It's on me. I got it. And she's like, no, Jonas, you sure? I was like, yeah. I was like, I got your coffee. I didn't know, but she was having that day. like everything in her life was just going completely wrong. She had mm-hmm. gone through a bunch of situations, things in, within her family that I didn't even, you couldn't even tell, right? Because the thing is when most people are dealing with pain, you can't tell. I mean, it's all internal, it's mental.
Yeah.
And I paid for a coffee. And then that afternoon, I went back to the coffee shop to go check on it. And they had a card there with my name on it. I was like, where this comes from? You know, I didn't turn 40 yet, you know? It was like people early birthday presents, you know? But I opened it and it was a card from her with a $20 bill and telling me how much me buying her drink that day changed her whole perspective on the day.
Right.
Right. So that's what you're trying to do with people in their families as well. You pull a man in that people have been beaten up, but he's good to his core. He's good to his soul. Right. He just hasn't had an opportunity, right, to really show who he really is, right? He's getting judged on actions. He's getting judged on habits that he's developed over time that he don't even know, like you said, don't even realize because that's all you know.
Just hadn't been taught better yet.
Correct. So you pull that guy in. And you help him, you show him love, you show him compassion, you show him how forgiveness, you show him how to change the dynamics of his culture around him and the people that he hangs around with. And you start putting around good people because now you have a team, right? At the Gritic, we live by Ubuntu, which is a person's a person through other people, right? Mm-hmm. We're firm believers in that. You start introducing him to that environment. Right, you change his life. Not only do you change his life, you change his family's life, you change his kids' life, you change other. Maybe now you're touching people around him,
breaking the cycle.
Yes, because he's sharing this, right? So now he's sharing this with the community. So what happens is when they say be the change you want to see in the world, that's exactly how it starts happening.
That is how it starts happening. So what's Gritic mean?
So Gritic, so I was come up with a name. Look, that's the hardest. I'm going to tell you right now. That's the hardest part of opening a business.
What am I going to call it?
You're right. Yeah. Because then naturally you're thinking, okay, I can't start my business till I have a name. So, bro, I was at my cousin's house, and I always looked up to my cousin because my cousin's always been an entrepreneur. Like, ever since we were young, I always wanted to be him because he had the kahunas to get out there and do it at an early age.
Yeah.
Right? And actually, not even the kahunas, the maturity. Right. That's also what it takes. It takes maturity. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't really mature until I was like 28, 30 years old, to be honest with you. But I'm at his house because anytime I had an idea, I went to him because I trusted him. And we're like, oh, we need a name. And then I was like, I know what we're going to do. We ended up taking an electric grid and put it together and make Gritic. So we just put grid in front of electric. Right, and they made Gritic, and that's where we came up with the name. Because I wanted. So the thing is, I didn't want A-Bear Electrical, because I never wanted.
Jonas is electrical.
I never want. See, I never wanted to be small.
So I
went into it and wanted to scale it.
Yeah.
And understood that in order to scale it, I had to have a name and a brand. So that's why you'll see the symbol. You have to have that. Has to be easily identifiable, right? Has to be. It's true. Like, think about McDonald's, Starbucks, Burger King.
Yeah, something that's Apple. Easily duplicated, easily put places.
So where, you know, when you brand see that recognition, symbol, exactly. Right. That all that thought went into the name, the design, the logo, the whole nine yards.
So how'd you get from electrical services to coffee shops?
Well, that's funny. So the thing is that. With your children, you try to find things to have in common, right? And then it's easy when it's sports because, you know, 9 out of 10 times you played sports when you was younger. Everyone says that they were the best, but we all know that, you know.
We were better. As we get older, we were better.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And you're like, I can hit a home run now. And you get up there and you know, your back starts hurting.
I played, just real quick side note.
Yeah.
This was probably, so 40, I mean, I was probably 30. It's probably 10 years ago. Played in, the old softball tournament.
Yeah.
Dude, I hit the ball, took off from home plate, and I mean, I just completely ripped my thigh.
Cool.
Thigh muscle. Yeah. You know, because you think you're still 16.
No, 100%. Well, you want me to tell you something funny about myself? So I was at EP Bro, and I was playing in, like you said, rec ball. We had our first practice, okay? First practice. I'm playing third base. They hit a pop fly short left field. I'm running. I think I'm Chipper Jones, you know? Like you said, you still think you're 16, 17 years old. I jump up. Now, people say I didn't jump that high to me. You ever watch Angel in the Outfield? So to me, I felt like I was floating, you know? Look, I catch the ball, right? After I catch the ball, I landed on my left leg, and apparently a lot of things had to happen for this to work out. But my acetabulum, I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
So I learned that after I broke it. Well, I fractured it. So that's what holds your hip joint, right? Yeah. So I landed right
first after, practice, not even first a game.
Practice. So after that, they changed the rules at the company. Now you gotta have the accidental policy, all type of things. You gotta sign a waiver, all kind of things to play softball now. They're lucky to even have a softball team. But so it was the right amount of pressure, you know, at the right angle, and it fractured. I never played baseball, never played softball again after that. But like you said, you still think you're young, right? So then now you're trying to prove a point to your kids because your kids are watching you. You know, and then in your head, you're like, dun-dun-dun,
yeah.
You know?
Top 10.
I caught the ball, though. I caught it. I never dropped it.
Make sure you add that.
Yeah, yeah. But I was out of work for like 7 months. And then
golly.
I started selling fire sticks. I was always the one to try to hustle. And that's when I started building my
So is that where the coffee shop started?
No. Okay, let's get back to that. So the coffee shop started. So the thing is going back. So you always try to find things to do with your children so you could bond with them, build relationships, because that's very important. I always want to foster that type of, you know, culture within my family. And my son, we always find ourselves at a coffee shop when we go to Florida, when we go on vacation, or even locally, we always find ourselves at a coffee shop, something we had in common. And for 2 years, you know, I told my wife, I said, I'm telling you, Lorville needs a coffee shop. It needs something where people can gather, right? Mm-hmm. Where people can gather.
Right.
And the library had just closed because they built a new one. And my son was jokingly was like, well, Dad, just build a coffee shop. What you waiting on? You know, like he told me that. And just like when my wife told me, I was like, well, okay. And it was at my mother-in-law's house one Sunday. And I said, I'm thinking I'm going to build a coffee shop. And then the building that I'm in now had just became available, one section of it.
That's on Church Alley.
No, that's the
other one. I got you. Okay.
So the one in the Main Street, Lorville, that one became available. So right away I called them, you know, and I took that one under lease. And then the building next door to it, which is, it's all one building. It's a duplex unit, but there's a door that joins them. Mm-hmm. So that became available. So I signed that lease right away. So now I got the whole building. So that's where the first coffee shop came from. It was from my son and I, we would always find ourselves at coffee shops, something that we had in common, something that we can do together. My wife was a supporter of it. Of course, like I said, you always got to, you know, do it together. And then Church Alley became available while I opened up Main Cup. And I was like, okay, this will help me speed up the process of the Main Cup because now I have system processes and everything else already in order that I could take, I could copy, and I could paste. And then I could just from there modify them as I see fit, as I see needed.
And it's been successful.
Yeah, it's been successful, both of them. Yeah, I'm about to open up my third location in Delcom. Yeah.
So the outline areas and places where
small
community gathering, a place like that is needed.
It's needed.
100%. Which other coffee shops, nothing against any other coffee shop or brand out there, but maybe would have overlooked the opportunity.
Well, they won't, because the thing is that for them to make money, right, you have to have a certain amount of foot traffic, a certain amount of, you know, in these little outlying areas. But the thing is they still need in these communities. They still need somewhere to go, right? They still need somewhere to gather. And the thing is that we lead by faith, right? So that's why I named it Simple Faith Coffee Company, because my grandmother always taught me when I was younger is that faith is simple. You just have to believe, right? So that's where Simple Faith comes from. And Simple Faith is on, well, it's not on this year, but it's on everything that we do. When I first started my Gritic Electrical Services, down the spine was Simple Faith. You still see it on every shirt. Every shirt a guy wears in the field, Simple Faith is on the sleeve. So
that's good, man. Yeah. It's such an enlightening conversation. You know, things about successful companies out there that people may or may not just realize. They're like, yeah, Jonas, you know, I'm sure his dad was an electrician and taught him how to do it and turned his business. So, you know, you just never know. And nothing against those situations. No. But at the same time, coming from, you know, a troubled past, maybe didn't always make the right decisions, ended up unemployed for a while, not sure how you're going to provide for the family, to successful businessman doing things right, you know, that people are excited to be a part of. You know, you're really a beacon in the community of light for other people that want to do things ethically and responsibly. You know, which is exactly at BBB what we strive to be involved with. Because as an organization, it's just as much about your business as it is about
BBB
and what, you know, accreditation means and that. But what What did we not talk about today, or something you wanted to mention that maybe I didn't ask about or didn't quite fit in before we wrap this up?
I mean, the only thing I would like give advice out there, because the thing is, this doesn't have to apply to just business, but just your personal life, is that take a real good hard look and at yourself and within, right? And then see what you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't have a vision board, you should do a vision board right away. I don't know. Do you do a vision board?
Something similar, not necessarily what would qualify as a vision board, but yeah. I know what you're talking about. We've done that organizationally at BBB.
Yeah. So that works. I'm going to tell you right now, you might think it doesn't work, or it might seem like a lot of work, but the thing is, you got to understand that it's going to take work to get you to wherever you're trying to go. And right. I guess we all have different ideas of success, right? So don't think you have to own a business to be successful, because success has...
It's all in what you
it's
want.
It's open to your own interpretation, right? Yep. So the thing is, but a vision board, I feel like, is very, very important and vital.
Right.
So you start writing down anything and everything. It could be a pair of shoes. It could be a certain type of shirt. It could be a Lamborghini. It could be multiple things. That gives you something to visually look at and see to try to achieve. And the minute you see that, you start working towards it. And then you just check them off as you hit them.
Well, and it's a lot of times you learn things, and when you do it, it makes more sense.
Yes, correct.
It's easier to grasp the concept, especially, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily love that, you know, talking about the university path, you know, necessarily love classroom learning. They love hands-on. Similarly, you make a vision board, literally a board with pictures of what you want. Even if it's a Photoshop picture of your face on a, you know, surgeon's outfit, you know, whatever it is, that's what the value is seeing that and manifesting.
It's seeing is believing.
As right. As you try to achieve that. Now, Jonas, correct. As I've gotten to know you, you're such a fun guy. You're so genuine. Again, going back to transparency and those things, you know, genuine is a good word. So we looked at your Instagram. I think it's Instagram. Before we came on, and there was something that I just really wanted to bring up, a video.
Which one?
I come from a long line of pimps. I've been pimping since pimping.
Dang.
That's a long time. I used to be a pimp in training, but now I'm a full-blown pimp. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. I'm a pimp, but another thing, this is the reason why Jesus has risen.
That's
the reason for the season.
Yep.
I came back for that burrito.
Hey, that's a good burrito. I'm telling you, Chris. Look, if you ever come to New Iberia, I'll take you to my burritos and we can go try it out.
Oh, that's man. I'm going to come out there just for that.
No, definitely.
I got to learn about this.
You have to. So, look, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. I'm probably butchering, but burrera or burrera, burrito or tacos.
Uh-huh. Man. Burrilla is the kind of meat,
burrilla,
right?
Burrilla, correct. It's a steak.
Okay.
And then so it's burrera, tacos, burritos, and they also make a pizza. So me and Mason, so this is one. So Mason works for me. He does shipping and receiving for me.
Uh-huh.
Great character, awesome heart, one of the best guys you'll probably ever meet. But he's also funny, right? So I kind of did a food review one day as a joke, you know, and it's kind of took off a little bit, you know. I mean, it didn't go viral, but it went enough, right?
Yeah.
So and then next thing you know, me and him make one together on an accident, and then everybody loved it. So I was like, well, look, this is something you and I are gonna start doing. But one thing, the reason also why I started doing this is I was trying to get other businesses that are smaller, that's in the area, that normally people are not even going to try. They're just going to drive past this business. So if I could help them get the word out and try their food, then it's a win-win for me. Because I'm eating fantastic food. I'm having a good old time with Mason right here. You know, Kuyon number two. And then we also getting the word out about local businesses, restaurants.
Yeah, and I think it – go ahead.
One thing that we could both – everyone always has in common is food, right?
You got to eat.
Yeah, got to eat. Right?
Well, I'm breaking bread together too. Yeah, you know, that there's a nice part of that. But I think it also reaffirms something we maybe don't talk about enough in some of the podcasts, or we don't mention it enough. But what it really boils down to is, while you're doing all these great things, making sure you're enjoying life and having fun.
Oh, 100%. You have to. So people ask me, they're like, how do you do it? So they're assuming I'm really, really stressed. Like everybody's like, you know, you're pulling your hair out, but no.
Not. I have a just good, enjoying life, man, day
good,
by day.
I have a good balance. But the thing is delegation. And you have to understand that your system is going to fail. It's not going to be perfect. You can't control the
what can we do things. To fix it a little bit and move forward?
That's it. Yeah. Right. The reward that actually at the company, you reward that because you want people to understand that it's okay to mess up. It's okay to fail. It's what we, it's how we respond to it. So like I tell my, my employees all the time is that I don't care who did it. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to point fingers. We're not going to do that. We're not going to play this blame game. We're just going to figure out how it happened and how we can prevent it from happening again. That right there takes so much stress off of you. Also, you have to find a good balance between work and family. On Sundays, don't call me. I'm not answering. At one point, I was finding myself getting to that stressful point. Now, Saturdays and Sundays, you'll catch me on a Saturday, Sunday.
I know what you mean, man. Absolutely.
I'm spending my time with my family. And after a certain amount of time in the evenings, unless it's really important, 6-7 o'clock.
Well, and that's a good point. As we wrap it up, I'll just say, you know, I reinforce this at BBB as well, because I've been in employment roles where, you know, it's almost number one priority. It's like it's paramount over anything all day, every day. And although it requires work to be successful, and you've really got to put your heart and soul into it to be, you know, achieve 100%. It at the same time, I think it's worth, and as we grow and mature, like we were talking about, it's just as important to make your family and personal life a priority. And I reaffirm that at the office. We're all about business, right? Yeah. BBB, that's all we do is business day in and day out. But at the same time, when you're off, you go home.
Yeah.
And you go to your family. This is a way for us to support our families, to make a living, to do something we enjoy doing and love doing, and make money while we're doing it. But make sure you're taking time off when you need it. You're taking care of your family. Somebody's sick, you're attending to them.
That's paramount. Handling
personal life before you're necessarily taking care of business.
So, you have to, yeah.
And have fun while you're doing all of it.
Look, and people will respect you for it too. Because if you understand those core values and you're able to make that a priority in your business or in your leadership, people respect you so much for it. Because there's a lot of times where people get taken advantage of. And that's, to me, that's not the way to operate.
Yeah.
You know, because family is very, very important.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, the reason why we do everything we do is for our children and our wife anyways, right? You know?
Jonas, appreciate you, what you're doing in the community. Appreciate you joining us and talking about it, being so genuine and transparent about it. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir. All right, Chris. Thanks.
I really hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for joining us. To help support the show, please like, share, follow us on whatever podcast application, or even on YouTube, wherever you caught this episode at. If you want to find out more about the Better Business Bureau, you can contact us 337-981-3497. You can find us on social media, BBB Acadiana. And as always, you can go to BBB.org for any information you're looking for. See you next time. Thank you so much for joining us.